Good morning to you all, and may I wish you a truly blessed Christmas. Isn't it wonderful to be here on the Lord's Day and on the special Christmas Day? As our Pastor Frank reminded us, this doesn't happen very often. I believe it's every 7 years, isn't it? So here you are, those who were here last night. You, as Frank said, you got a double whammy of it, and that's wonderful, isn't it? Great time to be here. And I want to welcome you, especially those who are here for the first time. We do want to welcome you. Pray that you will have a truly blessed Christmas today. Let us pray. Father, in our hearts and our minds, we want to go back to Jerusalem, to that city outside Jerusalem, little town called Bethlehem. And Lord, just let our imaginations go there for that event that took place 2,000 years ago. And Lord, just to ask you to help us to relive that today, that we may, Lord, not take it for granted, that we may again be reminded of that old, old story that is forever new. And we ask you to speak to us, Lord. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus. Open our ears that we may hear Jesus. And open our hearts that we may receive Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen. Well, what did you get as gifts for Christmas? Now, I'm not talking about today. What about last Christmas? Do you remember? Come on, it's only 12 months ago. Surely you can think back and remember what you received last Christmas. Do you know, whatever you receive today will also soon fade from your memory, a passing thing that will grow old and lose its effectiveness. Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Because God gave us a gift that is for all time and eternity. You know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Someone put it like this: God did not use a silvery box or paper green and red. God laid his Christmas gift to me within a manger bed. So giving at this season is actually a very scriptural thing to do, has scriptural warrant, if you like. Because you see, in Isaiah 9 verse 6 we read, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. In Romans 6:23 we read, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Ephesians 2:8 we read, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. And I want us to look at the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. It's the last verse in that chapter. And Paul says these words, and this is what we will be thinking about today. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, in the context of this, Paul has been speaking to the Corinthian church about giving generously. And then he ends up the chapter with this amazing text. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's as if words failed him when he was contemplating the magnitude of that gift. You see, it's beyond human comprehension. We need to appreciate that Paul carefully chose this adjective. In fact, it's the only time in the New Testament where it occurs. It is not one of his common words. And it has the idea, if you look it up in the dictionary, of inexpressible, unspeakable, or indescribable. And this gift is of such infinite glory that human language just breaks down. The Father's gift of his one and only Son is a supreme superlative. And even God could not express himself adequately through the mechanism of human language. What God could not say by means of language, he now says by means of a life. Because in John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Or as Charles Wesley put it in his hymn, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly became man. And so Jesus Christ is God's greatest gift, and in him all other gifts are included. And oh, may our hearts on this Christmas day echo the words of the Apostle Paul when we say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now we need to ask ourselves two questions. First is, what is the reason why this gift is indescribable? And I believe there are two reasons. The first one is because of who Jesus Christ is. The second person of the Godhead, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is the life as well as the light of the world. He is at the center of the universe, the foundation of all that exists, and the source of all blessedness. Listen to how Paul tells us in Colossians 1:15-20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And then later Paul says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That's the first reason, because of who Jesus Christ is. But the second reason is because of what Jesus Christ did. You see, we can never separate the cradle from the cross. Jesus is the only person who was born to die. We're born to live. Jesus specifically was born so that at about the age of 33, he would die on the cross. And John the Baptist saw that when he saw Jesus for the first time, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's because of that sacrificial and substitutionary death on Calvary that we have the forgiveness of our sins. We have peace with God. We have eternal life. It is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sin. That's why Paul reminds us in Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Matthew writes, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Luke says, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And again, Paul reminds us, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. See, you cannot separate the cradle from the cross, the reason why he came and what he did. Then just think of all the blessings that this brings to us. Cleansing from our sin, reconciliation with God, a new spiritual life within, peace and pardon, and above all, to know that we have the gift of eternal life with him. Because Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. You see, indeed, it's the gift of gifts. It is what food is to the starving, what water is to the thirsty, what freedom is to the slave, what release is to the condemned prisoner, and life to the dying. All that and much, much more is the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Someone said this, not even God a greater gift could give, nor heaven itself a dearer favor impart, when Jesus came and died that I might live. God gave without reserve his very heart. That's the wonderful news of Christmas. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, knowing that God is in the forgiveness business. He was born to die for our sin, and that is what he did. And that's the reason why he came. The second question we need to ask ourselves is, what is our response to this indescribable gift? Well, a gift, whether human or divine, needs some kind of response. The indescribable gift is a very personal one. You see, you remember what the angel said? To you, that singular, is born a Savior. To you, singular. So we need to ask, what is my response, personally, to that gift? Well, I believe there's four alternatives open to each one of us. Firstly, you may ignore the gift. Certainly many have done that. Treat God's gift as if it had never been given. Thousands were unaware what was happening on that first Christmas night. And even today, complete indifference. Sin has blinded the hearts of people, and so the Savior is just ignored as if he had never come. Christmas is, for some, just an expensive, unnecessary time. No wonder the world is in a mess. No wonder people's hearts are in a mess, ignoring the gift. Second, you may decline the gift. God's gift is not forced on anyone, or it would cease to be a gift in the true sense of the word. John 1:11, we read, he came to that which he was his own, but his own did not receive him. Still today, many decline that free offer of salvation because they think they can do it by their own selves, by their own good works. We don't need a Savior. I'm okay without God. I can make it on my own. And yet that gift is offered again today. None of those who finally perish will be able to say that salvation was not freely offered to them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will do so refusing that amazing gift of divine love, mercy, and grace. The third response is you may formally accept the gift. As one accepts a book that you never intend to read, or a jewelry piece that you never intend to wear. And how many practice that outward profession and formalism of what we call churchianity instead of Christianity? You see, it's easy to go through all the motions, go through all the rituals, yet live life day by day as if Jesus had never come. Makes no difference to many people. Yes, they will celebrate Christmas because it's the done thing to do. And let's face it, and I'm not pointing any fingers to any of you who may just come once a year to Christmas, but that's what people do think. Yes, I would pay my respects once a year. The formalism of it. Jesus said this: these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. See, many have a religion, but no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in very truth, they actually have Christmas without Christ. The fourth response is you may wholeheartedly accept and receive this gift. If a gift is to be a gift at all, it has to be received as such. As a thirsty person receives a glass of water, or a drowning person receives a lifeline, you receive it and you take it. And God's gift in Jesus Christ is meant to be eagerly and gratefully received. John 1:12 says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The wonder of the gospel is that there's nothing complicated about receiving the gift of salvation. Even a child can understand that. It is actually as easy as the ABC. A, admit you're a sinner before God. Recognize your inability to save yourself. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. First step, to admit that. B, to believe that God loves you and sent his Son to die in your place. For God so loved the world. I like to personalize that verse. For God so loved Graham that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Graham believes in him, he will not perish, but have eternal life. Try that. Doesn't it make it a wonderful verse? Believe that God loves you and sent his Son to die in your place. C, call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, you don't have to try and prove yourself before you accept the gift. The Lord wants you to come just as you are and receive that gift and accept it. One thing is obviously true, though. Only those who have received this gift by repentance and faith can really give thanks for it. If you have sincerely acknowledged your need of salvation, put your trust in that finished work of Christ on the cross for you, then you will experience that true joy of this season. And no others can sing Christmas carols with real meaning and understanding, with loving gratitude to our Heavenly Father. Can you do that today? Yes, why not? You can do it right now, as if you lift your heart to him, the Lord, and receive that gift he offers. On the 25th of May, 1956, I received that gift for myself. I was at an evangelistic meeting. I was brought up in a godly home, godly parents, took me to church and to Sunday school, set me a Christian example. But at the age of 12, I went up and I had to receive that gift for myself. When I understood the gospel in its fullest sense, that Jesus died for me, and I then give my life to him and I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sin. In 1960, Billy Graham visited our city in what was Rhodesia, and it was then I rededicated my life to the Lord, and I knew then that one day I would be in full-time service. You see, receiving that gift for myself, that's what you've got to do as well. And dear friends, today, let us recapture some of that marvel and wonder of that infant child, remembering his life, that he lived here in this world with all its ugliness. He came. His sacrificial death on the cross, as we go to Easter and remember Good Friday, that time when he hung there and cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His glorious resurrection on that third day when the grave could not keep him. And he's seen by all those people, resurrected Christ with a glorified body, saying, "This is the kind of body you'll have when you meet me in heaven." And then his glorious ascension into heaven, where he says, "I'll be coming back." Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if this year meant he comes back to us? The world's in such a mess. What a wonderful thing. What a hope we have. Truly no gift is more needed by a dying world than a life-giving Savior today. What about you? Can you, with Paul, with all your heart and mind, say, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift"? Let us pray. Father, what a joy to be able to come on this Christmas day and say thank you for that indescribable gift. We know that even in eternity we will not fully understand what it meant for our Savior to come here for us. And yet we thank you, Lord, that those who have received his gift can know in their hearts today that you are worthy of our worship. We pray for those who perhaps are on the fringe of faith, those who have really never considered receiving that gift for themselves. Please, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, work in their hearts and bring them to that point when they too will look up to you and say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me, for forgiving my sin, giving me eternal life. I receive that gift now, and I want to live for you." So bless us today, Lord. Pray for those families for whom Christmas is not a happy time. For those who have lost loved ones. For those who are at bedsides where their loved ones are ill. For those who are facing personal troubles, financial problems. Lord, for many who today Christmas is not happy, please will you draw near to them, and will you help us, Lord, to be mindful of their need and where we can to help them today. So go with us today, Lord. Keep our hearts rejoicing, because we ask it all in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.